Chapter 2. Air and Missile Defense Operations Process. This chapter addresses the planning, preparing, executing, and assessing phases of the Army's operations process. These are presented in terms of force operations and engagement operations. General aspects and applications of both follow. ADA echelon-specific discussions of force and engagement operations are presented in chapters 5 through 10. AMD Operations Framework. The Army's framework for exercising C2 is the operations process. The major C2 activities performed during operations, planning, preparing, executing, and continuously assessing the operation, ADP 5-0. Integral to AMD C2 are force operations and engagement operations. Force operations set the conditions for successful and sustained engagement operations. They include all actions needed to conduct parallel and collaborative planning, coordination, and integration with Army, joint, and multinational forces. Engagement operations constitute the process of engaging air and missile threats. Engagement operations include establishing an air picture, determining the classification and identification of all tracks, evaluating the threat these tracks pose to the defended assets, and exercising engagement control over subordinate units. Categorization as force operations or engagement operations provides a framework to assist in defining/establishing responsibilities and conducting activities. However, not all activities or tasks are clearly distinguishable as force or engagement operations. Some may span both categories depending upon the phase of operation or MET-TC considerations. Force operations and engagement operations for each ADA echelon are described in greater detail in its respective chapter, beginning with Chapter 5. Note, with the introduction of IBCS, the force and engagement operations curves flatten somewhat, though the AAMDC and ADA Brigade remain primarily planning headquarters and ADA Battalion and below execution organizations. Enhanced engagement operations capabilities are provided to the AAMDC and the ADA Brigade. Each may now apply dynamic engagement control over radars and sensors, though generally this control will continue to be exercised at the ADA Battalion and below level. The AAMDC and the ADA Brigade commanders may also be given engagement authority as MET-TC dictates. Force operations capabilities are increased at battery and below levels. Force operations. Force operations begin with detailed planning within and between the ADA echelons and synchronization of such plans with other affected Army, joint, and multinational elements. Planning is a continuous process that begins with the receipt of a mission and the commander's guidance and is done as thoroughly as time allows. Successful planning requires an appreciation of the simultaneous nature of operations, awareness of the mission, anticipation of future events, and an understanding of the operational framework. Force operations continue, as described below, with such other tasks as designing defenses, task organizing a unit to meet mission requirements, initiating support relationships, moving the unit to the area of operations, establishing communications networks, and sustaining the unit. Each task may be executed before, during, or after the initiation of engagement operations. AMD Planning and Design Process. ADA commanders and staffs develop AMD plans based on the guidance of their higher headquarters and in accordance with their supporting or supported relationships. The military decision-making process integrates the activities of the commander, staff, subordinate headquarters, and unified action partners to understand the situation and mission, develop and compare courses of action, decide on a course of action that best accomplishes the mission, and produce an operation plan or order for execution, ADP 5-0. The AMD planning and design process includes the military decision-making process, integrated defense design, criticality, vulnerability, threat, and troop leading procedures. Any AMD operation begins with detailed planning in collaboration with joint and multinational AMD partners. Coordinated planning, such as wargaming, is conducted in anticipation of future operations to identify potential issues or concerns and plan the way ahead. Planning considers all AMD operational elements, as appropriate, across the levels of war. Planning considerations at the operational level may be more extensive than those at the tactical level, as a primary threat could be ballistic missiles, and coordination and integration must be conducted with joint and multinational AMD elements. Planning at the tactical level is nevertheless necessary to develop defenses against those aerial platforms that may threaten tactical units. At the operational level, the AAMDC directs ADA planning priorities and focus. The AAMDC identifies the geostrategic picture and provides suitable guidance to deployed ADA forces in concert with directives from the Area Air Defense Commander, AADC, to enable operational and tactical level planning. The result of this planning process is an integrated defense design that leverages all available joint AMD capabilities to most effectively defeat aerial threats from ballistic missiles and high-performance aircraft down to UASs and RAM threats at the tactical level. At the tactical, maneuver, level, much of the planning resides with the atom cell in BCTs to enable AMD where feasible and to leverage inherent non-dedicated active AMD capabilities, combined arms fires and maneuver force stinger teams, for protection of the maneuver forces. The ADA personnel in atom cells assist the brigade commanders and their staffs in planning support by ADA forces or general coverage by SHORAD sensors and shooter systems, if such support is allocated. AMD planning involves joint, multinational, and Army units including service or functional component commands, AAMDCs, ADA brigades, and ADA battalions. Defense design tools are available in an array of planners, ranging from Command and Control Battle Management and Communications, C2BMC, planner at the strategic level, to the Air and Missile Defense Workstation, AMDWS. The Patriot Tactical Planning Workstation and THAAD Portable Planner at the operational and tactical levels provide automated means to develop effective plans and alternative plans and to respond to dynamically changing tactical situations. These design tools are domain-specific, C2BMC in ballistic missile defense planning, or system-specific, Patriot Tactical Planning Workstation for Patriot AMD planning, AMDWS for general defense planning and specific Avenger planning, and THAAD Portable Planner for THAAD planning, thus inducing a strong hierarchical planning structure. The criticality, vulnerability, and threat methodology is used to allocate ADA forces to mission requirements. This methodology begins with the combatant commander's nomination of high-value assets across all deployed forces and considers political and geographic aspects as well as military assets. These high-value assets are incorporated into a critical asset list, a prioritized list of assets or areas normally identified by phase of the operation and approved by the Joint Force Commander that should be defended against air and missile threats, JP3-01. After receiving all nominated critical assets, the methodology considers and ranks the importance of these assets based upon criticality. How critical is the asset to the JFC in the execution of the mission and plan for accomplishing that mission? Criticality can change over the course of a campaign. For example, early entry may place a higher value on a limited number of access points, but as the theater matures and more access points are opened, the criticality of a particular access point may diminish significantly. Vulnerability. How vulnerable is the asset? Vulnerability assesses an asset's susceptibility and recoverability. Susceptibility includes such factors as the asset's or force's hardness and its ability to disperse or displace to another position. Recoverability includes such factors as the time it would take to repair or recover from damage by enemy attack and if the asset can be replicated elsewhere should it be damaged by enemy attack. Threat. How likely is the asset to be surveilled and/or attacked by enemy air and missile threats? By what types of threats? In what quantities? Missions and threats are analyzed and forces are sized, matched, and allocated accordingly. The resulting linkage of ADA forces to designated critical assets constitutes the defended asset list, a listing of those assets from the critical asset list prioritized by the Joint Force Commander to be defended with the resources available, JP3-01. The JFC further defines the required level of protection for each asset on the critical asset list based on mission variables. For ballistic missile defense, for instance, the levels range from level 0, no active defense, accept risk, to level 4, near leak-proof defense requiring upper and lower tier systems operating in an integrated defense. The AADC implements the JFC directed protection level for each asset on the defended asset list based on METTC. Note, as formally defined and used hereafter, the critical asset list and defended asset list present formalized lists of prioritized assets at the theater level that require defense against air and missile threats. However, commanders/leaders at all echelons and in all services identify their most critical assets that require protection. These assets are compiled into prioritized lists, which, though having different names, are the equivalents of the critical asset and defended asset lists. For instance, in the Army Corps, the Protection Cell and Work Group develop a Protection Prioritization List and Protected Asset List. See ADP 3-37 for more information. ADA battery commanders and subordinate leaders use troop leading procedures to translate the integrated plan into executable actions to achieve an integrated defense. Troop leading procedures are a dynamic process used by small unit leaders to analyze a mission, develop a plan, and prepare for an operation. ADP 5-0. See ADP 5-0 for process details. Task organization. The METTC variables provide the basis for analyzing and selecting the right capabilities to be deployed and employed. Knowing the mission, threat, and operational environment allows commanders to identify and plan for an optimal capability package. Deployment considerations must also factor in the availability of strategic lift, the deployment carriers, and a suitably packaged ADA force to facilitate an operational defense as rapidly as possible. This package may consist of a complete battalion-level task force, a task-organized battery, or subsets of a battery. Task organization must consider elimination of exploitable seams in the defense coverage. Seams can be created in azimuth, for example, Patriot-sectored coverage, in altitude, ingress below or above a sensor's coverage, and by threat capabilities. For example, use of a threat mixed package that includes platforms with capabilities that exceed those of the sensor or shooter in a defense. Current capabilities to task organize enable coordinated but not integrated defenses. Coordinated defenses are fought at the system level. For example, a system such as Patriot or Avenger is selected to engage a threat, and other systems in the defense monitor the engaging system's engagement sequence to decide the need for follow-on actions. Support relationships. Support relationships define specific arrangements and responsibilities between supporting and supported Army units. Though traditionally focused on Army missions, these relationships are also applicable to ADA support of joint and multinational forces. There are four support relationships: direct support, general support reinforcing, and reinforcing. Commanders specify and change support relationships through task organization. ADP 5-0 provides expanded details on Army support relationships. ADA units in a direct support role provide dedicated support to a specific element of the force. Supporting ADA units coordinate their movement and positioning with the supported unit. A SHORAD platoon, for example, may be placed in direct support of a mechanized task force. The platoon will provide dedicated support to the task force, and the platoon leader will position the platoon in accordance with the task force commander's concept of the operation. Additionally, a Patriot battalion can be placed in a direct support mission to the AADC. ADA units in a general support role provide support to the force as a whole and not to any particular subordinate echelon unit or element. ADA units in general support commonly protect theater, corps, or division-level assets. They are positioned by the ADA commander. ADA units with general support reinforcing missions provide support for the force as a whole and, secondarily, augment the support provided by other ADA units. ADA units must coordinate with the augmented ADA units to reinforce the coverage of assets in the area of operations. ADA units in reinforcing roles augment the coverage of other ADA units and strengthen AMD capabilities of the force. Reinforcing ADA units are positioned to protect one or more of the reinforced unit's priorities as specified by supported ADA unit commanders. Movement. Movement is executed by the most expedient means needed, in accordance with the JFC's requirements for AMD. Strategic lift may be designated to transport subsets of ADA batteries or entire ADA units. Due to the large size of many ADA components and systems, and when time is available, transportation by means of self-movement, rail movement, or sea vessels for overseas deployments is likely to be more economical and efficient. When such stationing or deployments cannot be achieved within a timely manner, the JFC will rely on Navy AMD assets to protect early entry assets until land-based ADA capabilities can be deployed. Positioning. ADA units are forward deployed to an area of operations and positioned to best protect the designated assets against the projected air and missile threats in accordance with detailed defense designs. Sensor and launcher placements are selected to maximize surveillance, tracking, and engagements. In designing a defense, sensors are positioned to provide surveillance and fire control tracking capability sufficient to protect assigned assets and prevent gaps in the coverage. Sensors are emplaced on terrain that provides the best longest-range line of sight in all directions. Shooters are then positioned to optimize the defense of the defended assets, enabling lethal coverage over the assigned assets and extending firepower through as much of the defense coverage area as possible. The AMD employment tenets and latest intelligence reports inform the defense design. Patriot and THAAD forces may use a weighted defense to counter ballistic missile threats from known locations or areas, or a balanced defense when there is a potential for multiple types of threats coming from various approaches. Because of the nature of their target set, SHORAD forces may be able to rely more heavily on the tendency of low-flying threats to be canalized by terrain due to their flight level and maneuverability. This may allow SHORAD forces to predict the air avenues of approach for enemy air threats and position forward of the defended asset, weight coverage, and achieve early engagement before the threat is able to reach its ordnance release line. Communications assets interconnect launchers, sensors, and C2 nodes to enable an integrated defense. Tools embedded in C2 capabilities, such as the Patriot Tactical Planning Workstation and AMDWS, enable automated support to defense planning and defense design to both optimize component emplacement and to evaluate defense design alternatives. Software functionality is system-specific, requiring manual steps to develop an integrated defense design across a task force containing multiple system capabilities. When planning, positioning, and determining how often ADA units will be required to conduct survivability moves, units take into account the range of enemy indirect fires. Positioning ADA units with maneuver forces, generally the case for SHORAD units, or on or near installations, generally for Patriot and THAAD units, allows the units to take advantage of security measures and forces on those installations. ADA units have limited self-defense capabilities and thus must rely on others for that protection. Anti-terrorism and force protection considerations are extremely important given the ever-present threat of terrorist attacks and the need to protect ADA units at all echelons from becoming targets of opportunity. Once in place, ADA forces should implement passive defense measures, such as camouflage and protective works, and continuously improve them as long as they remain at a location. Deception, camouflage, and concealment should be used as much as possible to deny or limit the ability of enemy surveillance assets to identify sensor, shooter, and C2 components and ultimately target them. Emission control measures should be initiated to reduce the electromagnetic signatures of the sensors and command posts, CP. Deception. Deception operations are designed to mislead enemy decision makers by distorting, concealing, and falsifying friendly intentions, capabilities, and dispositions. The objective is to mislead the enemy commander, inducing the enemy to conduct activities that unwittingly serve friendly purposes. ADA units plan and conduct deception activities in conjunction with movement, cover, concealment, and other passive defense operations to disguise friendly capabilities and counter enemy capabilities. In the context of tactical deception, ADA units may position weapon systems in locations forward of those typically associated with a point defense. For example, Avengers, employed with Patriot in an integrated defense of a fixed or semi-fixed asset, are generally positioned to deny an enemy low-level access to the asset and to defend the Patriot system. Moving Avengers forward along likely enemy air avenues of approach provides early and unexpected, to the enemy, engagement opportunities. ADA units conduct deception in support of operation security by emission control, blinking sensors, and employing counter-countermeasure. Emission control of sensors in the defense limits sensor radiation until the last moment in an engagement sequence, thus reducing or denying enemy targeting. Radiating multiple sensors in a defense at different times and different locations hinders potential lock-on by anti-radiation missiles. Employing counter-countermeasure capabilities mitigates the effects of enemy jamming or other electromagnetic deception. See FM3-13.4 for additional information on Army military deception operations. Engagement operations. ADA systems generally do not fight as independent AMD fire units. They are employed in integrated defenses with other ADA systems, such as Patriot and Avenger, or with the AMD systems of other services or multinational partners, for example, THAAD and the Navy's Aegis. While SHORAD systems can fight as independent fire units, their capabilities are greatly improved by fighting as integrated formations with Patriot and THAAD forces or joint and multinational partners. Defenses are designed to provide the greatest degree of protection of designated assets against probable air and missile threats. Ideally, defenses have the requisite capabilities to overmatch threat capabilities and deny an enemy's expectation of successful air and missile operations. Integrated defenses are developed for the JFC or Army Commander's designated assets and planned to ensure the required amount and types of protection. Integrated active AMD measures are established and executed concurrently with attack operations and passive defenses. Execution. Ground-based or aerial sensors, or combinations of both when available, are employed to perform surveillance of the airspace and provide focused early warning to at-risk forces. The sensors provide engagement authorities the time to make engagement decisions that deny threat platforms the ability to see or impact the defended assets. These engagement authorities function as a vertically and horizontally integrated kill chain. The kill chain is the successive linkage of commanders who can authorize engagements of air and missile threats. Engagement decisions are made by the designated engagement authority in the kill chain, providing operational control of and, ultimately, directions to the shooter. Integrated sensors, shooters, and C2 networks will allow for greatly increased engagement options. As such, engagement authorization must be delegated to the lowest level possible. Proactive engagements are conducted in accordance with theater-level rules of engagement, ROE, and complementary directives. Engagements are conducted by the best shooter, that weapon system that can best deliver the appropriate effects to achieve maximum attrition at the right time and place, and as far forward as possible to ensure keep-out ranges and keep-out altitudes. Keep-out range is the horizontal distance from a defended asset at which a successful engagement denies an adversary's desired weapons effects against the defended asset. A keep-out range is a key defense design consideration for cruise missiles. It also allows AMD systems to counter enemy aerial surveillance and reconnaissance platforms beyond the range at which they can surveil an asset and beyond the engagement capability of a defending AMD system, contributing to the overall ability of friendly forces to see first. Keep-out altitude is the vertical distance above a defended asset at which a successful engagement denies an adversary's desired weapons effects against the defended asset. A keep-out altitude is a major design consideration for ballistic missiles. Shooters may use shoot new, target shoot, shoot look shoot, salvo, or ripple methods of fire depending upon the type of system. The method of fire may be stipulated in operation plans, directed by the kill chain, or influenced by the situation. Coordination is affected by the AMD-C2 elements to ensure the threats are overmatched by the AMD weapons, facilitating their destruction while simultaneously mitigating the potential for fratricide of friendly and neutral aircraft. Combined arms for air defense constitutes another element of Army AMD that can provide vital protection from air threats and contribute to the freedom of maneuver for friendly forces. See Chapter 11 for a fuller discussion of combined arms contributions to AMD. Maneuver forces can effectively engage hovering or slow-moving helicopters within their weapon systems' ranges. Stinger teams organic to maneuver formations further enhance this capability. The Atom Cell, see Chapter 10, in the Maneuver Brigade links the maneuver forces to the kill chain to implement appropriate ROEs. Intelligence enables cyber and electronic warfare elements to electronically attack air targets. Intelligence elements can also provide or assist in the surveillance, identification, and classification of air targets, facilitating early warning. Engagement sequence. The engagement sequence is the successive actions taken by all of the service's air and missile defense systems in the engagement of aerial threats. Terms in the sequence differ by service, but capture similar actions. The ADA engagement sequence terms are surveil, detect, track/identify, threat evaluation and weapons assignment, engage, and assess. Surveil. Surveil is the systematic observation of airspace by electronic, visual, or other means, primarily for the purpose of identifying and determining the movements of friendly and enemy aircraft and missiles in the airspace. Detect. Detect in tactical operations is the perception of an object of possible military interest, but unconfirmed by recognition. For ADA units, detect is the acquisition of an aerial object of possible military interest by sensor systems. Track/identify. Track is the process of displaying or recording the successive positions of a moving object. Identification is the process of determining the friendly or hostile character of an unknown detected contact, JP3-01. Identify attains an accurate characterization of detected objects with high confidence so that timely application of weapons can occur. Embedded within the overall process of identification are distinct tasks dealing with classification and discrimination. Classification is the process of characterizing a detected object by its type, model, variant, nationality, and any other distinguishing feature or attribute. Classification, for instance, would establish a track as a cruise missile. Discrimination is the process to distinguish real objects of interest from other objects or phenomenon and military objects from those that are not. For example, discrimination would differentiate between an enemy air platform and a decoy. Threat evaluation and weapons assignment. Threat evaluation is the process of determining the intended target of the threat's predicted impact point upon the defended asset, and the timing of the threat's arrival. Weapons assignment provides the right unit, launcher, or missile to engage the threat paired to an appropriate sensor, if needed, to support the engagement. Weapons assignment can be based on the location of the unit or ADA system, preferred area where an engagement should be conducted, or ADA system's capability. Sensors may be able to support multiple types of weapons. For example, Sentinel can support Avenger and CBRAM detection and acquisition, or may be designed to specifically support engagements of one weapon system, such as the Patriot. Weapons may need in-air engagement support from a sensor, such as the Patriot radar, or may be fire and forget, such as the Stinger missile, meaning that once the missile is launched, it uses onboard guidance and homing capabilities to close with and intercept the air and missile threat. Engage. Engage is defined as, in air and missile defense, a fire control order used to direct or authorize units and/or weapon systems to attack a designated target, JP3-01. Engage commences with the initiation of missile launch or trigger pull of a gun and concludes with the impact of a missile or bullets, hit to kill, or impact of fragments from a detonating warhead, arming and fusing of the kill mechanism, explosion of the warhead, dispersal and travel of warhead fragments, and impact of fragments. It can also encompass the use of non-dedicated AMD assets to commit resources to disrupt or destroy air and missile threats. Assess in the air and missile defense engagement sequence the analysis of the effectiveness of the engagement and of the potential for re-engagements. Methods of fire. The operational environment, level of protection required, and time considerations determine the method of fire used by ADA units during engagements. Methods of fire are the firing options for air defense artillery interceptors employed against aerial threats. There are four methods of fire: shoot new target shoot, shoot look shoot, ripple, and salvo. The method of fire selected provides the statistical probability of achieving the defense design goals, such as achieving less than 10% leakage. Shoot new target shoot. A shot, missile launched or volley of gun rounds fired, is taken against one threat, and the shooter immediately is assigned to a different target without consideration of the effect of the preceding shot. This method of fire primarily applies to fire-and-forget weapons, such as Stinger, in heavy saturating attacks, or when the engagement timeline does not permit a re-engagement of the threat just engaged. Shoot, look, shoot. After the first shot has been fired, the operator/gunner/system evaluates the engagement. If the target is not destroyed and the operational environment and time permits, another shot is fired. Ripple. Two or more missiles or volleys of gun rounds are fired in predetermined intervals from the same or multiple launchers or guns based upon the threat. This method of fire is used to achieve a desired probability of engagement effectiveness or to negate threat tactics. For example, one shot fired against a ballistic missile at relatively high altitudes before aerodynamic maneuvers are likely, and one fired at medium altitudes after aerodynamic maneuvers have likely been completed. Salvo. Two missiles or volleys of gun rounds are fired near simultaneously from different launchers or guns. This method is used if there is insufficient time for a shoot-look-shoot or ripple engagement, and when multiple engagements are necessary to achieve the desired probability of engagement effectiveness. Firing doctrine. Firing doctrine is the application of the methods of fire to achieve the required level of engagement effectiveness. It is implemented in accordance with the priority of the defended assets and the number of available interceptors relative to the number of attackers. It may have situational variations from the method of fire selected. Patriot, for example, may select ripple fire against a ballistic missile that is part of a massed raid. The first shot of the ripple will occur in accordance with the selected method of fire. The second shot may be preempted by the need to shoot higher priority threats. THAAD may use a shoot-look-shoot, but may conduct the first or the last shot as a ripple fire or salvo fire, depending upon engagement timelines and supporting ballistic missile defense fires. Sectors of fire and primary/secondary target lines. A sector of fire is that area assigned to a unit, a crew-served weapon, or an individual weapon within which it will engage targets as they appear in accordance with established engagement priorities, FM3-90-1. Sectors of fire are specified by left and right limits in azimuth and are normally designated at ADA battalion level for Patriot and THAAD units and platoon level for SHORAD units. Sectors of fire are a part of a comprehensive sensor and shooter plan that provides optimum radar coverage of the defined area and effective use of available ADA weapons. A primary target line is an azimuth assigned to a weapon system or unit along which the system fire control personnel and/or gunners focus their attention. Primary target lines are established along the center line of the assigned sector of fire to assist in the distribution of AMD fires. A secondary target line is a pre-planned alternative target line used to shift the orientation of fires to assure all likely threat avenues of ingress are adequately defended. Secondary target lines are designated to supplement the effects of an ADA unit to defend adjoining areas on both sides of the primary target line. These sectors of fire are clearly defined by right and left boundaries. The assignment of primary and secondary target lines for Patriot, which has a sectored radar, is critical to mission success. However, THAAD, which also has a sectored radar, does not plan for or assign secondary target lines. Other sensors, such as Sentinel, provide 360-degree coverage. Assignment of secondary target lines are less critical, but do enable operators to concentrate attention within assigned sectors based upon likely enemy air avenues of approach.